Well, good morning. Yeah. For those of you that are visiting with us this morning, I'm not this old yet where I need one of these. I'm just recovering from back surgery, and so I need the extra support at this time. Hey, most of our, not a lot of our staff is away this weekend up at Camp Cedarcrest. We took 21 of our students up there, and Pastors Vince and Larissa and Benji and Jen and Ryan are all up there with our kids. They are working hard. I had someone send me this little video of Vince sweating it out up there.
Just filming all the time.
So you can see how hard it is to be at camp with our students. We began a series a couple weeks ago. If you are new or you haven't taken advantage of this, we use a app called the Bible app, and within that app is this feature called Live Events. And so if you open that app and follow these steps, you can get to our sermon notes and announcements and additional resources, or you can simply type in the URL at the bottom of the screen, and you'll be able to follow along. All the sermon slides that we have and things for the morning are up there. But we began this series 4 weeks ago called Viva La Vida, Live the Life. And for those of you familiar with Judaism, you know that there's the cry, L'chaim, to life, live the life, L'chaim. It's all about living life with a vitality and a joy, a zest, a commitment to really the possibilities, the dimensions, the opportunities that are before us as followers of Jesus Christ, that we believe that the Christian life is not two-dimensional. We believe the Christian life is not monochromatic, it's not monotonous, it's not mundane. The Christian life is filled with a plethora of opportunities that are truly wonderful because people are wonderful. And because people are wonderful, there's this unending opportunity for us to engage with women and men and youth and children in a manner that enriches everyone's life. And so the question is, what kind of life will be the life that we live? And so this morning I want to continue looking at this section from Paul's letter, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 21. Again, we're going to look at the whole chapter this morning. And so if you have a Bible or a Bible app on your smartphone, let me invite you to turn there. I'm going to begin at verse 1 of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ accordingly to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of your faith, if service in your serving, or the one who teaches in your teaching, for the one who exhorts in your exhortation, the one who gives with liberality, the one who leads with diligence, the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be sincere, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all people. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we again look at this chapter, would you please quicken us? To rejoice and to relish the fact that we are called the body of Christ. People call the church many things, but you call us the body of Christ. And may we endeavor to live forward and press into the dignity, the beauty, and the wonder that that title speaks of us. And so we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would pastor us and shepherd us, quicken us, challenge us, exhort us, encourage us, strengthen us, befriend us. That the tangible weight of your presence might abide with us. So we truly might be and experience the reality of being that body of Jesus, in whose name we pray, amen. So this morning I want to go over the fact that last week we talked about the next big thing, and we said that the next big thing was you, plural, or as they would say in the South, all y'all. The next big thing, I think, that can be unleashed as a movement in our city, nation, and world is you, y'all, all y'all, that we are God's next big thing. The next big thing is not going to be a piece of technology. The next big thing is a release of God's people in the world today. And as we went through chapter 12 over the last couple, 3 weeks with Vince and myself, we looked at the fact that we have all received a life-changing call, and therefore we are called to present our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord, that we've received a world-resisting challenge to not be conformed to the world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and we've been called into a world-challenging life. And so last week we talked about the fact that a 2017 checklist to challenge the world and to change lives can be simply looked at this way, out of Romans 12. Use your gifts and love sincerely. Because as we looked at last week, when most of our translations say, let love be genuine, don't play act with your love, that in the language that Paul wrote, it literally just says love sincere. And what it appears is that it's almost like a little chapter heading. Sincere love. What does that look like? What is love sincere? And so we went through and we highlighted this list. Loving sincerely means to celebrate goodness, build intentional relationships, honor others ahead of yourself, serve the Lord with diligence and passion, stay focused, rejoice, persevere, pray, be a generous giver, be hospitable, be a blesser, not a curser, be empathetic, be impartial, be humble, be respectful, be a peacemaker. And as we close the service, Pastor Vince said, I don't know about you, but I feel overwhelmed by that list. And then I got received an email this week from someone who said, isn't this list just setting us up to feel like a failure? So I want to visit about that this morning, because the worst thing to do would be to go into 2017 being the next best thing and next big thing and already feel like a failure. That's not really going to propel us very far, is it? How are you feeling about 2017? Well, I'm just a failure. You know, I don't think it's God's intention to release this movement of Eeyores upon the planet. Who are you? I'm just a failure. And so this morning I want to set the context, because I don't think this sets us up for failure. I think it sets us up for success. Okay. Can't get around it. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we've been given a high bar. We've been given a high standard. If it was a low standard, it'd be called the world. And we are not to conform to the world. But I believe that this passage sets us up for success. And it sets us up for success because we're not called to do this alone. The first thing is that we are the body of Christ. We are not like a body of Christ. There's a world of difference between those two. Scripture says followers of Jesus Christ in community are the body of Christ. This is not an analogy. This is not saying that followers of Jesus Christ are like a body and they are like a body of Christ. Followers of Jesus Christ are the body of Christ. I take a very high view of the church. When Paul was pursuing the first followers of Jesus, when the author of this letter, as a rabbinic leader in first century Judaism, started off, he hated followers of Jesus Christ. He thought they were shameful. He thought they were heretical. He thought they should be rounded up, beaten according to Jewish law, and incarcerated. And so he would lead teams to ferret out those first followers of Jesus Christ and seek to imprison them, beat them. And one day on his way to Damascus, he had this profound encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ. And in this encounter, Jesus says to him, he addresses him by his Hebrew name, and he says to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, Saul, Saul, why are you beating up on my followers? He didn't say, why are you jailing my people? He confronts this man, certain of his convictions, and he says to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? To persecute my people is to persecute me. To beat my people is to beat me. To imprison my people is to imprison me. And there's something about this encounter that that sears something into Paul's brain and consciousness. He never questions it as anything but true. And it's from that moment that this theology, this understanding that the church, this collection of people, is not merely a community, it is the body of Christ. So the church is not like the body of Christ. Our self-understanding, our life, our vision, our aspirations originate outside this community, outside our city, outside of our culture. Our faith, our understanding, our vision, our aspirations, they are rooted in the head of this body, Jesus Christ. And like Jesus, we look to heaven. And then, like Jesus, as his body, we look across the aisle. We look across the street. We look across our city, our nation, our world, because like Jesus, we exist not simply to be in relationship with our Father. We seek to be his community in breaking of his presence into our world. So there's nothing about this body that is different than Jesus. In Romans 12, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Jesus did that. Don't conform to the world, but be transformed. Jesus did that. Authenticate what the will of God is, holy, good, acceptable. Jesus did that. This body is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Which leads to the second observation, that the body of Christ can be like a human body. That Paul uses the human body to illustrate what it means to be the body of Christ in community. This is why the movement that says Jesus yes, church no, is a delusion. I'll just put it this way. Anybody who says they love Jesus and doesn't participate actively in a community of Jesus is living a delusion. Do you realize, I can make the case for the whole Bible, but it's very clear with the New Testament. Do you realize that every book of the New Testament is written to a community? Every single book, be it Matthew, be it Mark, be it Luke, be it John, be it the Acts of the Apostles, be it the letters of the New Testament, they are all written on behalf and to communities of Jesus Christ in their local area or region, to strengthen them, to clarify, to exhort and encourage them as the body of Christ. Everyone. The Apostle John would say it this way, if someone doesn't love their brother, they don't love Jesus. It is that simple. Don't let anybody fool you. The idea of the individual Christian making their way in the world as a brave and courageous Lone Ranger is at best an American invention. It's completely foreign to the scriptures. We need the local community to grow, see our weaknesses. We see our blind spots in community. Even more important, the local community needs you to grow. Needs your gifts, your skills. Sometimes there's times and seasons where we have to receive, sit back, take sabbaticals. But every community needs the community to grow. And so Paul makes this example. The body of Christ can be like a human body. We're not all the same limb. We're not all the same part. Think about it with my phone this week. That this is a good thing for pointing and opening up an app, but you can't zoom to make something larger with just one digit, can you? For those of you, you need two to make something grow, right? So just one finger ain't gonna do it. You need two. And then if you're texting frequently, it's helpful to have two thumbs rather than just poking with your finger. But one finger or two fingers really isn't enough if you want to keep your phone from cracking its screen. It's best to have all five fingers and a palm to rest it in. But you wouldn't get very far if you didn't have an arm to hold it up. The body needs everything. Needs all parts functioning. With this back surgery, you can't help but start to think about the back. Something you take for granted. I'm not allowed to lift anything more than 5 pounds. Do you know how many things weigh more than 5 pounds? I mean, it's ridiculous. So my arms can handle it, my hands can handle it, my legs can handle it, my back can't handle it. Or when I get walked for my daily walk, I'm like the dog now, we'll go walking down the street and we move at the speed of slow. And as we walk, I finally started walking in the street because on the sidewalks, because of the driveways, you have all these dips and pitches, and I never thought about the fact that your back kind of functions like a gyroscope. It can go this way and this way and this way and this way, and so as you walk and your levels change under you, your back is always compensating so that you're standing up straight. My back doesn't do that so well right now. And so every part of the body feels the loss of what the back's not capable of doing right now. Paul says that the body of Christ is like a human body. And when we are not actively engaged in living as and participating as part of that body, sharing our gifts within that body, then we hamstring that body from being fully alive to the possibilities and opportunities that are before us as a body. The body of Christ is like a human body. And the body of Christ is called to love sincerely like Jesus. Now, that's a community call. All y'all together as one body, as it says in Romans 12:5, although we are many, we are one in Jesus. We are called together to love sincerely. Which means we're called to love as Jesus loves. But let me say this first. Jesus does not need us. Jesus wants us. World of difference between those two phrases. Jesus doesn't need your help. But Jesus wants us. When Andy reworded this song, I Want to Be Where You Are, to You Want to Be Where I Am, That is straight out of the Gospel of John. That he lived amongst us. He crosses a frontier that is unimaginable to us to be with us. He wants to be where we are. So Jesus doesn't need us. But he does want us. Jesus doesn't need your help, but he does want to partner with us and express his presence through us. The world does not need us. World doesn't need more churches with indie rock music, fog machines. Free trade, just coffee being served in the courtyard. Doesn't need churches with more bagels and gourmet white stuff. Doesn't need another group wearing hipster, millennial, or boomer fashions. You can get that at any mall. World doesn't need us. World does not need us. The world needs Christ in us. The world needs Jesus. And so the world needs churches where Jesus is tangibly present. The world needs churches that value their life together. Treasure the relationship. Realize that identity, purpose, strength, meaning, aspiration is all shaped by this relationship, this mystical union between us and Jesus, as it was between Jesus and the Father. And while we celebrate and treasure that relationship above all relationships, we recognize that that relationship is not an end in itself. It's a relationship born of love, expressed in love, in love. That nevertheless thrusts us into our world because God is love. If you've been raised in the church or you're familiar with the verse, we can say it so glibly that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Well, God still loves the world, and now he gives the body of Christ to the world as an expression of that love. As the community inbreaking of the very presence of Jesus. It's not a matter of trying harder. It is the challenging of surrendering all. It's the challenge of surrendering our life so that the Holy Spirit within us can awaken the love of God, the sincere love of God, to be expressed through us as a community and through us personally as God gives us opportunity. And the issue is not, can I will to do this perfectly, but do I will to say yes to the opportunities before me? You see, I don't think God expects us to be perfect. I do think he gives us the opportunity to say yes to him as if that perfect expression of his love is within reach. And when we fail, Paul already in this letter has told us that there's no condemnation. There's no reason to hide your face from God. It's every opportunity to say, Father, forgive me. I missed the opportunity. I didn't pause. I didn't slow down. I let that person's looks intimidate me, frighten me. Provoke hostility within me. But don't you understand that the very awareness of not fully succeeding is a win? That's why the discipline of confession is so liberating. That we can go to God and we can say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. And this writer of this letter, he tells us, he says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no condemnation. There's this wave of grace that awaits us and empowers us and kind of dusts off our trousers and our shoulders and sets us up again to go out and not try harder, but to go out and say yes. The Christian life is a journey of 1,000 yeses. It's just saying yes. There is no executive order that can cause you to love more. And there's no executive order that can compromise your ability to love more. That's why we don't conform to this world. We have a different agenda. We see the world differently. Because we see it through the eyes of Jesus, because his eyes is our eyes, because we're the body of Christ. We don't live for ourselves. We live in Him, with Him, on behalf of Him, because we're not our body, we're His body. Which means that we look at people, whether we agree with them or not, with the love, truth, and grace of Jesus Christ. We look, we live, we love in Jesus' name. The issue is not, can I will to do this perfectly? The issue is, do I will to say yes? It's not about an overwhelming list, it's about a simple response. Will I say yes? Will I say yes? The Christian life and service is not a hobby. It is a divine calling birthed in grace and released with love. If you treat it like a hobby, you're going to be the most constrained individual. Your creativity will dry up. You'll always be caught between choices and decisions, and some days and life just will become so conditional, because some days you'll begin like a hobby to choose when you want to do it and when you don't want to do it. And you can't live in a body and have your own will. It's really tough. Christian life and service is not a hobby, it's your calling. If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. If that calling is to make cups of coffee after church, then do it with passion. If it's to help with children's ministry, just even laying out snacks, then do it with love and diligence. If it's to teach, teach. If it's to pray, pray. If it's to give, give. But that whole list is a community list. And when we look at that list, we realize that we surrender our lives, we resist conformity, we welcome renewal of our minds, we participate in Christian community. We are the body of Christ, so we can love, so we can care, so we can reach out, so we can express. Together as a community, we can be hospitable. And some of you will be called on behalf of this community to be hospitable with your homes and apartments, your studios. I believe all are called to be generous and are giving this Christmas to see our community raise over $20,000 to assist ministry partnerships that we are involved with year long, but specifically to assist them as they seek to address the plight of refugees among them. That couldn't be prouder to be a pastor. Together we can be empathetic. Be intentional in our relationships together. Will we have opportunities to do this individually? Yes. Will the Holy Spirit bring that to mind if we are responsive and receptive? Absolutely. It's not an issue of memorizing a list. It's an opportunity of allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us personally and together as a community to express the presence of Jesus. That list is not here to condemn you. That list is here to release us, to frame, to define, to illustrate what the body of Christ looks like. The body of Christ experiences and expresses the tangible presence of Jesus among us. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you are in the body of Christ. And if you haven't yet surrendered your life to Jesus, he wants you. And he welcomes you. Because as we said last week, Jesus is not simply Lord of all. He is Lord for all. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this time to be together this morning. For your love, for your kindness, Lord, for your joy. We thank you that you call us to be a body where you are truly present. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that faith community would be an authentic body of Christ, not because we're perfect, but because you are present. You're present with your love and your grace. And so it is in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us all afresh with your Spirit, that we might be aware, apprehend your presence among us, that we would be like Jesus, a community that welcomes any and all as Jesus did, that cares for any and all as Jesus did, that loves any and all as Jesus loved, that there is no one outside who can't be brought inside into your love. And so it is, I pray this morning, Lord, that for any here that don't yet know you personally or have drifted or feel cut off, I pray in Jesus' name that your Spirit would draw near, embrace, and invite their fresh surrender so that they might say yes to you this morning. Thank you that the Christian life is not a complicated life. Thank you that it's just the ongoing opportunity to say yes, because you have said yes to us. So, Lord, may your presence abide with us this morning and through our week ahead as we gather in life groups, Bible studies, serve you both together and personally as you take us to places like work and play, school, that we would realize we are the body of Christ. And we thank you for that privilege in Jesus' name. Amen.